time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
Yes, yes. Welcome back. 2024. You already know we here still. Another 24 on the clock. Mm-hmm. Having a good time. Black History Year. Coming mm-hmm. in your ear, crystal clear. You know the jargon. Mm-hmm. Anyway, welcome. Glad to have you. What's good with you?
Man, it's all good, man. Shit, feeling good. On my feet. Mm-hmm. Back, you know what I'm saying? First day back to the jizz-op. You know what I'm saying? Doing the Rizark. So, that feels good to be back in the saddle. You know what I mean? You know, about to test the limits of where I'm at with it. You know what I mean? I don't know. But I'm here to test it. You know what I'm saying? I got some assignments already on the board that I got to knock out.
Yeah.
So I'm on that, man. It feels good, you know what I mean? Like I said last week, you know what I mean? Only 6 to 17% motherfuckers did what I went through, get back to work. So it feels good to be part of the, you know what I'm saying, part of the short crowd getting to it. It's a big jump. You know what I mean? Going from, you know, just being in a solid, almost not solitary, but in what you're going through, you're in a solitary space, kind of just, you know, like I say, trapped inside your body. So now to kind of walk out of the trap and put your brain back to work, put your hands and your feet back to work, then it feels good to do that. But at the same time, it's like you used to something else. You know what I'm saying? Like your life has changed and the way you process information has changed. You know, it's like right now, it's like, you know, you got to focus. You got to focus on whatever the task finna be. You don't have room for distractions. You don't have room for 5-6 different conversations. You know what I'm saying? So it's really trying to lock into that zone with everybody else who's normally thinking in their normal mind when they just, you know what I mean, they could do all the stuff at the same time. They could talk about the weekend plus what y'all supposed to be talking about and watch the news. Like, shit, I gotta pick one. I gotta pick one. You know what I'm saying?
That's hilarious. What you been picking?
Nah, I gotta pick the meeting. I gotta pick the task at hand. Okay. I can fuck all that. Gotcha. Fuck the news and what happened this weekend, shit. Cause if I can't focus on the work part, then I'm fucked. So I you know, it's really, you know what I'm saying, it's really just how do you utilize the brain you're working with? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And realize that the phase that where it's just you, where it's just, you know, the pity party is over. You see what I'm saying? Like, ain't nobody think about that shit, what you went through. So it can't play a part in what you're doing. You had to do that on your own, in your own space, in your own time. And you had to realize that, you know, that part is the world, when it comes to the world, that part is over. You know what I'm saying? You back on your square. You know what I'm saying? You out in the world. You out in the public, and you got to be prepared and ready. And that's where I'm at with it. You know what I'm saying? And if I want to be, you know what I'm saying, completely transparent about the whole shit, nigga, it's scary. You know what I'm saying? It's you feel vulnerable. You know what I'm saying? I was talking to a friend, and he was saying how he had a hip surgery and how vulnerable he felt going into the food spot with his walker. You know what I'm saying? Like, niggas could, you know what I'm saying, take advantage of him at any time. Like, so he, you know what I'm saying, he trying to stay prepared. You know what I'm saying? And it's the same type of feeling. That's like one black man's hood anxiety. But when it comes to, like, a life anxiety, it's like, shit, will I have enough to complete the task? Will I, you know what I'm saying, will I be able to get through the crowd without, you know what I'm saying, you know, falling over, you know what I'm saying? Will I, you know, all these thoughts come to mind, and you know, you really can't, ain't nobody to talk to about the shit. Like, damn, this shit, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, when I first was going through it and I was getting dizzy all the fucking time just being outside, it was like, nigga, it's hard to say, nigga, I can't go outside. I don't want to go outside because I'm scared. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That shit is terrifying, mm-hmm. to be out that motherfucker knowing the wind could push you up. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
So, you know, I'm not at that level right now, but you know what I'm saying? It's a scary thing to think, can you complete the task that you used to do with your eyes closed?
Yeah. You know, it'll come in all shapes, right? All types of ways and everything, right? But you made an interesting point that it all boils down to vulnerability, right? Mm-hmm. And how you deal with that shit. You know, mm-hmm. your man with the hip confided in you. You know what I'm saying? And you got your situation, and you mean shit. You just kept it 100 with us. You know,
on told everybody.
Yeah, and told everybody listening. You know what I mean? Now everybody knows. Look, shout out to my man DJ Sense. His thing used to be, he used to always say, in front of millions. That nigga used to always say that shit, and it's the funniest thing. But
oh man,
that's what makes, you know, the real part of it all is vulnerability is what makes you relatable, what makes people really fuck with you and identify with you. It all varies, levels or whatever, but the vulnerability, you know, just when you was like, yo, that shit's scary as hell, right? I remember talking to my therapist, this is years ago. But I can't remember exactly what the situation was, but I'm recounting the situation or whatever. And he was like, yeah, well, it sounds like they hurt your feelings. I was like, fam, I can't even say that. Fuck you mean they hurt my feelings? And he was like, well, that's what it sounds like to me. That's how it sounds like it affect you and it hurt you.
Nigga cannot even have hurt feelings.
No, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous because everybody done had their feelings hurt, but there's this whatever type of, you know, parameters we put on ourselves as black men, black people broadly, or people in general, to a lot, nah, you know, ain't no way I'm saying no shit like that. I'm gonna look crazy. You know what I'm saying? And it's just like, are you though? Because you'd be surprised who gains strength from somebody else's vulnerability. Mm. You can empower somebody by being honest about how you truly feel, you know? Because people are like, oh shit, wow. You don't know how people look to you and, you know what I mean, regard you. And they're like, oh, that motherfucker, damn, you know? And it opens some shit up. Mm. So it's like, it's really important. It's hard as hell, though. It's the hardest. And like I said, it's in so many different variations. It's like there's a spectrum of vulnerability. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, so there's a lot of shit to feel self-conscious of or protective of or whatever. But like, the more you could accept about yourself and share about yourself, I truly believe the further along you come with, like, just impacting people.
That could be true. You know what I'm saying? You don't know what it'll be. You don't know what people take from your words. But at the end of the day, it's getting most comfortable with yourself and where you at with it, for real. It's like when you faced in situations where, shit, this or don't exist at all, nigga, none of that shit don't even really matter. You know what I'm saying? It's like somebody on the ground the other day was saying It was zesty for four men to be riding in the Jeep together. It was like Nelly and his boys in a Jeep. And they was like, it was zesty for niggas to ride in the Jeep together. I'm like, man. Just get the That's fuck out saying. Of here.
That's what I'm saying. My homie just told me today. He was like, niggas don't go to the movies together. And I was like, huh? But it's like, but he believe that shit. Like, that's the gospel to him. Right. And I'm like, come on, bro. Like, this is, but that's what be going on half the time. Like, these are some shits that are, these arbitrary rules that are imposed on the people.
Right.
Or yourself. Right. And that shit will limit your freedom.
Who
you know what I mean?
These shits what? Up. You know what I'm saying?
Who, yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Who? It's just like, you know, I talked about when this I guess she would be lesbian. I don't think she was trans. It's like a stud type. You know what I'm saying? I told you about when she stepped on my foot and she was so hard. Like she was hard like a nigga from the 80s. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was like, man, I ain't even seen no niggas like that in 20 years. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. They don't even exist no more. Niggas might come home from jail like that, but niggas ain't like that in the real world no more. You know what I'm saying?
Not so, dead stock.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's like people have worked up this prototype for a nigga. You know what I'm saying? What right. a real nigga supposed to be, or a real man, or a fucking real husband, or a real you boss, or real whatever. You know what I'm saying? And it's all these things. And you're like, man, niggas don't even know no real bosses. You know what I'm saying? Like, they don't even know them. They don't even know how niggas really react. You know what I'm saying? They don't know that the most I hear of niggas talking about beautiful and love and all that shit is the hardest niggas I know. You know what I'm saying? And people don't know that. People think it's one thing, you know what I'm saying? Like fear and love and things of that nature are not attributed to a black man, you know what I'm saying? And when you might get it for your kids and your wife, you might, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But after that, nigga, it's a stretch, nah. You play too much. So I think it's more tapping into your own self and being good with your own self. A nigga, you know what I'm saying? It, whatever they could say back about me, feeling a certain kind of way, it ain't got nothing to do with me. You know what I'm saying? It's all projection. You know what I'm saying? So if I say some shit and a nigga get it twisted and be mad about some shit, a lot of times it's mostly that's how they feel about it themselves. That's how they feel in the mirror. So for me to put them in the mirror, that's what I'm going to get. You know what I'm saying? I learned that doing the magazine and shit. When I said, the first quote was, you know, the illiterate of the 21st century will not be those who can't read and write. It will be those who cannot learn, unlearn, and relearn. Alvin Toffler, right?
Mm.
The people who are educated and felt like their spot was secure in this world, they were upset. You know what I'm saying? Like, nigga, I got hate mail. I'm like, how I get hate mail trying to inspire a nigga? You know what I'm saying? Like, I wasn't even talking down on niggas. But people felt a certain way. Like, nigga, you must be talking to me. You know what I'm saying? No, I'm not. I'm talking to the air. Like, nigga, shit, it makes sense. Nigga, if you ain't going to be able to learn and unlearn and relearn shit, nigga, you going to be lost in this world. You know what I mean? But people took it as that I meant that niggas who can't read and write gonna take over. Like, man, y'all niggas crazy. So, you know, you take it all over with a grain of salt, and most of it is, you know what I'm saying, be good with yourself, man. Fuck it. Shit, ain't much more time. Ain't that much time in this world. Shit, to be against your own self. Shit.
Word. Word. That's all you got. That's you know all you got. At the, you know what I mean?
Shit. You better be good with you because God damn.
Just because this is it. This is it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's there's no other you coming.
And
this
no,
is going to be it. You
got, no guarantee yeah, niggas is going to be on your side about nothing. You
right.
know what I'm saying?
Right.
Nobody.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shit. Your right hand might not agree with your left hand, nigga. Shit, you better be good with getting your heart.
Man, speaking about getting good with myself, dog. myself was busting. It was myself was killing me this last week, man. I had the flu. Man, I had the flu. That shit was crazy. All I know is shit was wild. I had the crazy fever, the sore throat, the super cough, you know, the chills and all of that. And I looked, I did two COVID tests, and they both came up negative. There's something a little disappointing when you truly super sick post-2020 and it's not COVID. You like, what? You thinking that? You know what I mean? You like, I'm sure I got COVID. You know, and then that shit said, nah. So then I got a little resolution because turns out when I did my show up in Stanford, one of the comics, shout out to Ayana Dookie, she hit me. She was like, yo, everybody on the show has said they sick. I said, word? She didn't know I was sick. I was like, oh, that shit gave me some closure. You know what I'm saying? I was like, oh, okay, I could track it to something, you know, to where the shit happened, patient zero or whatever. But, yeah, the shit was so crazy. Because at first, for the first few days, I'm trying to thug it out. You know, I don't really like to do too much medication just in general. And one of my homies told me a while ago, he was like, honestly, if it's viral, you know, when you dealing with like any of these over-the-counter medications or whatever, you know, all you're really doing is just suppressing the symptoms, right? But just not, you still have to let it run its course. It's just suppressing the symptoms, which ain't the worst thing in the world. Sometimes you might need to, you know what I mean? Hit that equalizer, you know what I'm saying? Like, yo, bring that shit, bring down that MIDI. So I was a little reluctant that the shit started to get crazy. So I started throwing back the Tussin. Had the Tussin, not the Robitussin, had the Tussin, dead ass. Through some generic shit from Wegmans. And then my cousin hit me. We was texting. He was like, I said, yo, I got the flu. He was like, oh, hold on, I'm going to hit you with the Tamiflu. So he set up a prescription, got me the Tamiflu. That shit kind of changed the game a little bit.
What's a Tamiflu?
Tamiflu, again, like, this is not an endorsement. Because I didn't even read all of what it was. I was just like, is it penicillin? And he was like, nah. And I looked up what were the side effects. It wasn't anything too crazy. But it's a medication for flu or whatever. Sometimes it might not, depending on when you take it, it has varying levels of effectiveness or whatever. But the shit worked out for me. And you only take it like twice a day. And I texted him. I was like, yo, I don't know. I don't want to get too cocky, but this shit got me feeling on my way back. You know what I mean? Like, I ain't gonna lie. That shit had me feel like it was, if the Tussin was doing some suppression, this shit was filtering shit out. It was still like, honestly, real talk, I guess it also had to do with the time. Because The symptoms would still come back. I still have like a sore throat still. I wasn't getting the chills. The chills were subsiding, but I was still coughing, whatever. So it had to run its course. The Tamiflu kind of helped off. And like I said, it was really like once every 12 hours, take a pill. Wasn't like every 4 hours I'm sipping some syrup from a cup or whatever the fuck. So, you know, I think I'm pretty much on my way back. You know what I mean? I'm kind of back in the world. I had to cancel a show, but then I did jump and do another show because I just had to get out the house. You know what I mean? I felt like I was towards the tail end of the shit, and I was very mindful about, yo, you know what I mean? Giving motherfuckers the elbow. You know what I mean? Peace, peace. Nah, I just got over a cold, whatever.
Yeah, you got a stiff ass dap anyway, nigga.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, arms distance ass. Stay over there.
Ooh. Conditional love. Peace, nigga. Happy New Year over there.
Be totally unexpected. Yeah. Be moving in. Oh, shit. Goddamn. Okay. Burn up.
Nah, man.
All right, now.
Oh, shit, man. I think I'm a little better now. But, yeah, so I was out there, and I've been moving around a little bit. But, woo, that shit was something, man. And, yeah, I'm just happy to be back to,
I'd say normal. You know what I mean? Like, and it feels good. Like, you know, yeah, man. You only got you. You know what I'm saying? You only got you, so you better love you. Yeah, you know?
But.
And, yeah, man. You know, at the top of this year, I know a lot of people do a lot of deconstructing and plotting and planning and trying to transform and all of that. And I can't ever knock nobody trying to take it to the next level, but give yourself some grace, too. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, they say if you're going to beat yourself up, use a feather. You know what I'm saying? So, like, you know, just as you're trying to take it there, you know, like, within reason. Don't. It ain't got to destroy to rebuild. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could get it off as you, you know? Mm-hmm. But anyway, man, I'm happy to be back. I'm happy to be back a little better. I tell you this, you know, last week I was in here talking about, I was on here talking about how dope Top Boy was.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I was like, nigga, Top Boy, yo, y'all got to fuck with it. You know, all of that shit. That's when I was still watching Summer House.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe I had just finished Summer House. Top Boy, that shit went from cocaine to cotton candy. I'm not going to lie to you. Not going to lie to you. Tone-wise, the shit shifted sharply. I'll say this, though. Even though it went from Top Boy to 90210, I still fucked with it. I watched it all the way through. It wasn't the most gradual shit, but I know, like, it was the second season of the second iteration, the Drake Maverick Carter iteration,
mm-hmm.
where I was like, yo, something's going on tone-wise. Like, and then it just started getting a little bit more pronounced. Sully became the little grump with a gun. You know what I'm saying? Shane is damn near Republican and... You know what I'm saying? Like, there's all of these little subplots and ancillary storylines, and we invested in all of these new characters, and the music is a little bit more dramatic. The lighting is a little softer. Like, it's just, wait a minute here. This is different. This is different. This ain't the same drug dealer show I was just watching half a week ago. This is different, and it's not the Tamiflu, you know? Mm. But... what I appreciated, though, because I have an appreciation for those type of shows, 90210, Friday Night Lights, Dawson's Creek, you know, the little soft type of shows. This was still a very black-ass show.
Mm-hmm.
It was UK, but it was black folks, you know what I mean? And still dealing with certain issues, whether it's like... displacement, you know, and gentrification, aggressive gentrification and deportation and obviously drugs in the community and, you know, things of that nature. So I enjoyed it, but it just was such a shift in tone. But I was already on board. I was already committed. I will say this, though, the way that it ended kind of salvaged it to me. I don't want to spoil nothing, but the way that it ended, it rode the line of a little bit of what Summer House was and a little bit of what the new shit was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a moment where it was like a moment of reckoning, and you know, it was kind of like a little conversation, but it was like a device used that you kind of see in certain television shows that you like, okay. But it was still cool. It was still some closure, some resolution. I enjoyed it. The one thing that I will say that I liked a lot about the show and other shows similar, like a lot of particularly, I guess, drug dealer shows, you know, that applied to me, I guess, at the onset of this new year, you know, like I said, everybody trying to reconfigure some mm-hmm. of their plans and strategies. One thing that I got from these drug dealer shows, this most recently, is, and it goes back to vulnerability too,
have the conversation. You know what I mean? Like, have the conversation. You know, like, when you watch these drug dealer shows, they be situations where they got to go meet the connect. The connect might not even speak English. You know what I'm saying? There's mad guns at the spot. They always pat you down, take whatever pistol you got off you.
1980s you know what I mean? Drug deal.
Exactly. From, you know, Miami fucking Vice. Miami Vice. You know what I mean? Yeah. They might have put a bag over your head and taken you to the location so you don't even have your bearings about you. All you got is how you articulate what you need and what the deal is going to be. You know what I mean? And hopefully the opportunity is more worthwhile than your body. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you know, like, is the bag better than just the body bag? You know? But it made me think, like, you know, there's times when you gotta, like, when you start looking at things that you want to do and trying to do, and you might need some help from people, and there might be people you ain't spoke to in a while, and you like, ah, I don't know if I feel like calling this person, because, damn, I need something. I don't want to, they might front on me or whatever, whatever. You going into it already tight, is your ego is inflamed, or you feel a little vulnerable, too afraid to be like, yo, I need some help. Type shit. And it's like, you got to get to the other side of that shit, because a network ain't worth shit if you ain't going to work it. You know what I mean? Like, if you ain't going to call these people in your phone, then these is just names in your phone. Like, you need to access your resources. They there for a reason. And nobody, no one man is an island. No one woman is an island. You know what I'm saying? So, like, have that conversation. You know what I'm saying? Have that conversation. And if this applies to you, and you sitting at a, you looking at your phone, and you looking at a contact, and you're afraid to press the call button because you don't know where that shit could go, it'll be better on the other side of that conversation. Because at the end of the day, good or bad, you're going to have some clarity and some resolution. Right. You know what I'm saying? And you did it. So that's that. Yeah, but shout out to Top Boy. I enjoyed it. Yeah, tone wise, it definitely did a little juke.
It was worth it. Yeah. It was worth it. Okay.
It was worth it, man. I still recommend checking it out. Okay. I would really like to know what you think if you do watch it.
No, because somebody on Twitter was bigging it up. You know what I'm saying?
Man, I saw them.
I'm making me feel bad. Muhammad ain't on that shit.
Yeah, man.
I mean, I know this is, and you know, and we could mark this. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, good.
Do you think you want to talk about the Cat Williams shit?
I mean, we could talk about it. Yeah, as much we could talk about it.
I mean, you know, I ain't watched much this week, but I did see a lot of the Club Shay Shay clips. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And, you know, and they were what they were, you know what I'm saying, as far as somebody airing out their grievances, to say the least. But what it has done, you know what I'm saying, it put a spotlight on comedy that hadn't been there, in a way where you're now looking for comedy stuff to go look at, to kind of, you know what I'm saying, feel if you could feel that energy, or you could hear that thing, or you know what I'm saying, or you could put up the joke that was stolen from this particular comic, and in a way where, you know, the average person, I know you've talked about it on here, but the average person, we ain't even looking at that shit like that. You know what I'm saying? It's funny, har, you know what I'm saying? And you know, you being a comedian, I was just wondering, you know, what was your take on the situation?
There's a lot of things that struck me about the whole situation. Mm-hmm. First off, one of the things, and it's not in any order, but one of the first things that struck me was, damn, the numbers on this interview.
That's what I'm saying, is it?
Shit is crazy. Shit did like 7 million in a day. Right. I don't know what
they was at 24 million about a day and a half ago.
That shit crazy. That shit is crazy. I don't never like comedians beefing in the public. I don't never like that. I've said that here plenty of times. Mm-hmm. I try my hardest and I think I do a good job. I don't like to critique comedians publicly. Mm-hmm. You know, especially if I know them, mm-hmm. right? Now, I ain't gonna lie, my nigga. I watched the whole shit like fucking Killers of the Flower Moon. I watched all 2 hours and some change. I'm not gonna lie to you. I watched that whole shit front to back. It was Cat Williams. You know what I'm saying? So the shit was hilarious. There's a lot of one-liners in that motherfucker.
Oh, my God.
When you... Oh, man.
And I ain't even, you know what I mean? And I ain't even watched the whole piece. I never clicked on the actual... long form video.
Mm-hmm.
I've watched multitudes of clips, but even in those was the one liners was like, damn, where they came from?
Nah. The shit is chock full of a whole bunch of one liners and things of that nature. What I took away from it more than anything, well, and to your point, what I was struck by, because I was looking at some of the little comment sections where it was being discussed and things like that, even though I really be trying to, I don't like to stay, I talked about this last week, I don't like to stay too long in any comment section because it's a lot of bullshit going on. But what I did find, to your point, was so many people seem to like almost kind of rediscovering that comedy is still going on.
Hell, nigga.
I guess because I live this shit. This is my life. I guess I look at it differently, but these niggas talking about this shit like this is an ancient art. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? People like, so I didn't even know. Man. You know, so.
One of the things that shocked me, not that it shocked me, but. It just, like, say niggas like Cat Williams, Mike Epps, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, Lil Duval, the whole, you know what I'm saying? Not the cats that's the, you know what I'm saying, on the big screen, you know what I'm saying, all the time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But, like, niggas who out here touring, you know what I'm saying, doing show to show.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize how much money these niggas had.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, God damn. You know what I'm saying? Then you see Mike Epps building the block. You know what I'm saying? People might say, oh, yeah, that's nice. But that shit take a lot. I'm trying to build one fucking house in my fucking own house.
Right.
And that shit is a struggle. Right. Let alone, you know what I'm saying? Okay, I watched the show. They come in. We going to do this. You know what I'm saying? We going to end up tearing the whole house down, building it over. And then we going to do the next one. Like, man, shit, that shit take money. You know what I'm saying? You talking about $70,000 in changes in one day, nigga. That shit cool. Yeah, but that shit cool for TV, but that shit take money, man. $70,000 ain't just fall off no tree. That nigga had to go out there and tell them jokes for that shit. And I didn't realize, you know what I'm saying, how they was getting to it just on the mic. You know what I'm saying? Outside of even the shows and the movies. Just on the mic, getting to it. I was like, dang.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, nah. It's a lot of money to be made. Right. It's a lot of money to be made. I ain't making all the money I would like to make. But there's money to be made. I'll say that shit, and I will, like, look. What kind of blew my mind, and this was years and years ago, but, like, I remember somebody told me, you know, Seinfeld was a millionaire before Seinfeld.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's just off the road.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd be surprised. That road is different if you build your audience and, you know what I mean? You could bring them out consistently. Like, it changes. You could change your life significantly. What I appreciated, though, was the emphasis, not the emphasis, but the highlighting of writing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, writing material, being a writer, writing your shit, your own shit.
Mm-hmm.
That is like something that is, I guess, not spoken enough about, you know what I mean? Or whatever, like it's, but it's a thing. And it's very, you know, be surprising how easy it is to not write. you know what I mean, to coast, mm-hmm. you know what I mean, like in the way of, you know, because it takes a lot to get on stage and to make motherfuckers laugh, mm-hmm. and it ain't like, it ain't nothing like making a room full of people laugh, killing, mm-hmm. right? And it takes a while to build a set that is a killer set, right? But then after a while, you either got to, you know, retire that set, whether that's a special, an album, whatever, mm-hmm. and hopefully start anew. That's kind of the process, you know what I mean? So if you touring and you come back in the city, your cat talking about, you know, when you come back in the city, they want to see a different hour. They want to see something new. Mm-hmm. And that shit's hard to do when you have to start over, right? Because you can't build your shit without the stage, mm-hmm. you know? So you going on a stage, you went with that killer hour and you shot that shit and you put it in the world and it's out there, you know what I mean? And people know that shit because it's killer hour. And either they seen it live or they seen the special. Now you out in front of these people that killer hour yielded, and maybe even places where you just working out, you just popping in, but it's a hot crowd. Mm-hmm. And you got to follow a comedian who is smacking the room up, maybe with what is about to be their killer hour. Mm-hmm. They smacking the room up and everybody in that bitch laughing. There's women in there looking good. Motherfuckers in this, you know what I mean? You know, it's one of them crowds you don't want to take a slow one in. Mm-hmm. But it's very easy for you to jump back and do the A shit that'll get your shit off. Mm-hmm. Or you gotta work your new shit out in front of this crap. And it could go left. It could be, that nigga ain't funny. I seen the motherfucker down at motherfucking Trouble T Roy's. And that nigga ain't make niggas laugh. And da 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 da, it's over for him, whatever, whatever. Mm-hmm. But you gotta trust the process. Cause you know, you 3 minutes into 60 minutes. You know what I'm saying? And you know, you're gonna have to just figure it out. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes at a clip, 20 minutes at a clip. But you need these people to gauge if this shit is good. Mm-hmm. Can I get a laugh off of this shit? Boom, all right, bet. Now, how do I finesse the rest of this shit? How can I finagle this shit? Maybe I got to use some super, super duper old shit as a little bit of a hybrid, maybe, but if you committed to it, the goal is to create the new shit. That shit is hard, you know, and then, you know, there's a lot of other things that could happen. Either you're doing old shit that you're one with, or you're clipping other people's shit. Right. You never want to do that. Right. You know what I'm saying? But it happens more than you think. And, you know, again, I don't ever support, like, calling motherfuckers out in front of strangers. You know what I'm saying? Because... You know what I mean? Like, it's strangers. Niggas didn't even know the shit was going on. No, you know what I mean? Like, we of a community, but it's also a subsect of people that understand the journey. Mm-hmm. And more often than not, you probably got that person's number. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But, you know, everybody does what they want to do.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And, you know, I mean, people like to not remember that, you know, all of this was in response to those appearances.
Of course.
On Club mm-hmm. Shay Shay previous to him. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So,
right.
Exactly. And him airing out some stuff he felt like what it was. So, yeah. Yeah. You know, I mean, he entertained the world with it. You know what I mean?
Oh, man.
Comedy is resurging like a motherfucker. I'm getting me some tickets to this Mike Epps tour. I want to check that out. You know what I'm saying? It's like okay. It's like a different thing. Like, it's like, okay, let me go check out some comedy shit. You know?
This is hilarious.
You know what I'm saying? Okay. Like, you laughing.
I feel you. You laughing. He made it hot. No, he put out he made it hot again.
I didn't
again.
Say he did it by himself. Yeah. I'm saying, but that's a resurgence. That's an after effect of it. You know what I'm saying? Of right. people like, you know what? Let me go check this shit out. You know what I mean? So, no, I ain't saying the man saved comedy and did all this, but it created a ripple in the mm-hmm. matrix that you like, you know what? Let me check out some comedy. You know what I'm saying? And then when they start bringing up the old clips, they trying to prove some points, but mm-hmm. it reminds you like, oh, that's Def Comedy Jam. Let me go check out the Def Comedy Jam. You know what I'm saying? it reminds you mm-hmm. of that era, you know what I mean? It reminds you of, you know, some of the Comic View stuff and some of the bits that you would get, you know what I'm saying? Bernie Mac, his name has came up big in this, you know what I'm saying? Going back and checking mm-hmm. out some Bernie Mac shit, that shit funny, you know what I mean? So, mm-hmm. it's, I mean, what it has done to the algorithm is a trip, you know what I mean? Because it's not stuff that I'm just going to look up. Because Cat Williams is trending so hard, it's feeding all this comedy shit, you know what I'm saying? Like, just in my own little, yeah. in my own little algorithm, I'm sure if you got a white algorithm, you might not be as, you know what I'm saying, affected. But on this black algorithm.
Now he over there. He shook it up over there, too, I bet. I seen Rogan invite him on the platform.
He did.
Holla
out Joe Rogan. So I appreciated it for that. You know what I'm saying? One, you know what I'm saying, looking at him closer as a comedian, because I didn't. You know what I'm saying? I liked his appearances. You know what I'm saying? I thought they were funny. I remember the green suit comedy special on HBO, I guess. You know what I'm saying? But but since then, you know, I ain't kept up with it. I ain't followed along, you know. But once you start re-looking at it, be like, oh, shit, this nigga out here doing that shit. Who else?
Stay on the road.
Who the fuck else I'm sleeping on? Shit. What the fuck can I do? To, you know what I'm saying? Upgrade my scenario, you know?
I could dig it. Well, I tell you and the people, if you want to see some comedy, DC Improv, February 8th through the 10th.
They might cut it off. We still got more to do. Shit.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, go check out D Lemon. Go to the end of the conversation. You know what I'm saying? DLemonComedy.com and check out the dates. Mm-hmm. Goddamn shit, for sure.
Yeah, man. Yeah, we out here. Yeah. I thought it was great. Cat is always a hell of an interview. I mean, he's been on a few interviews. I mean, he just did Willie D too. I haven't seen that, but. Just over the last 2 years, obviously, it's not as salacious or as this particular one is. And again, he had some shit to speak to. But like, Cat is a brilliant thinker. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a funny motherfucker. But even beyond that, like, the way he looks at the game is way deeper than a lot of people might associate with the persona that he presents. That motherfucker is like brilliant. You know what I mean? Now, reading 3,000 books a year from ages 8 to 12, I don't know about all of that, but the motherfucker's a smart motherfucker.
I think the nigga probably meant pages. I don't know, but shit. You know, niggas just out there talking and drinking.
That yak. You know that yak was doing what it needed to do.
You know what I'm saying? Now you back researching the nigga. He was, you know, supposedly he had a high IQ and supposedly been part of Mensa for, you know, since he was a kid. Mensa, that's the brain people. You know what I'm saying? One of the ladies who helped me with my neurological shit, her dad was part of Mensa and shit. You know what I'm saying? So that's how I heard about it. It's like, oh, and I'm like, okay, this nigga one of the motherfuckers they go seek out. Like, oh, word.
Like the fucking the brain Avengers. You could tell Mensa the shit when you could claim your pops. You know, my pops was in Mensa.
Yeah.
Damn, I like that shit. Right. Yeah, Mensa ain't no bullshit. The little genius academy.
Right. So
yeah, man.
You know. Yeah. It was just interesting. It's an interesting start of 2024. Interesting the way to rethink a goddamn occupation that has been going on, but you haven't been a part of it. You know what I'm saying? So like again, for me, I talk to you every week, but it's rarely about the industry, like the comedy industry.
Right. No, I can dig it. Yeah, it's out here. This shit is going on every night.
That's why niggas out here trying to tell jokes.
Yeah, some shit out here. Oh man, what else is good with you?
Man, that was about it, man. I caught that. Okay. I did a binge, not a binge, but I was bored one day, And I was on like some, you know, action movies. I did I finally watched Old Boy, which is a Korean joint from back in the day.
The OG joint.
Yeah, you know, the Koreans, they have mastered the art of cinema violence and shit. Yeah. So I was on, I wanted to check some of that out. Because one day I'm going to make me a movie that's super ultra, has a super ultra violent scene in it. Not just because of I want to do a super ultra violent scene. It's just that violence has so much currency in this fucking culture that people don't like to admit. You know what I'm saying? You ain't supposed to be violent. You ain't supposed to go out and start no fights or do no shit. But if you did get in a fight, you're supposed to whip ass, right? You know what I'm saying? You ain't supposed to get your ass whipped, are you? Nope. You know what I'm saying? So it's like so much currency put on it, but nobody really points that out. And I want to do that. But I was checking out some of the Korean shit just to, you know what I'm saying, pick up on some of their shit. Mm-hmm. So I watched that. I watched some other shit. Then, you know, all the action movies started coming up. And then I was... it was a toss-up. I was like, I'm going to either watch John Wick or this Equalizer shit. I always see the Equalizer pop up, but I never watched it. You know what I'm saying? Like, this shit be perpetually on a streamer, but I never sat down and watched it. So I watched the Equalizers.
And which one? The first one?
All three of them.
Okay. Talk to me. That sounded like Denzel. Okay. But go
ahead. Ain't much to talk about. You know what I'm saying? It's like somebody asked me about it. What you doing? I'm watching Equalizer. And I was like, I know. Mm-hmm. It's kind of corny. But it's kind of like, come on, man. You're going to whoop 10 motherfuckers' ass and they got guns. Nobody get a shot off. Okay. But it's always, it's good going in knowing that the black man gonna win. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's good. It's not Fargo.
It's like, man, this nigga gonna whoop their ass. Let me see how he gonna do it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like a good feeling to you know what I'm saying, partake. You know what I mean? So I watched all three of them shit. See, you know what I'm saying? Denzel did a good job, you know what I'm saying? Playing his role and, you know what I'm saying, his motherfucking stunts and shit. They did, you know, it's... I just take them kind of movies like those don't be like the premier action movies. They be like, you know what I'm saying? Back in the day, it'd be like the USA TV versions of the action movie. But in the streaming world, you know, you got movies that have hit and that come out. You be like, man, I wouldn't have never watched this in real life. But sitting here, I can enjoy this shit. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I did. So I was cool with it. I like how, you know, Denzel the Monk. You know what I'm saying? Got everything down to the motherfucking millisecond. You know, it was you know what I mean? It was unreal, but it was cool. You know what I'm saying? It's probably niggas out here that'll fuck you up that's sitting around checking the clock and shit too. But I ain't never met them.
Yeah. I do like that device though. He look at his watch and he's like, how much time I got for this motherfucker?
18 seconds. I'm about to kill all you niggas.
Yeah, real smooth. And you know, it speaks to a lot. One, the fact that you just said that, like, you know, you comfortably know that the black man's going to be victorious. Because more often than not, you always, you're waiting for the disappointment. Yeah. You're like, shit. Yeah. You know, and now you're mad. You done paid $16 to see this shit. This nigga done died in the first third of the movie.
Yes.
But I'm curious... Because one thing to be said about this that I was thinking about, what is the lineage of it? You said the USA action movies and shit like that, right? Two questions. One is, I don't even know what my man's name is in the Equalizer. You just binged it. You know his name is?
No, I don't.
Denzel is Denzel in every fucking movie.
Oh, that nigga name is Robert. That nigga name is Robert.
Robert.
He was saying his name was Robert. Bob, and then the prostitute was like, "Oh, you don't look like a Bob."
I watched all of them. I seen every last Equalizer. I ain't gonna lie to you, cause but what I was gonna say is two things. One thing to be noted, and I think it still hasn't changed, this is the only sequel Denzel has ever done in his entire career. That's just off rip. That says a lot. One, that just says a lot. Even, you know what I mean? Nigga like, well, shit, I'm bust some ass. Let me go ahead and I'll do it again. Fuck it, if I could be the hero. But then two, since Robert, is it John Shaft that's been the last black man that we could put our money on? Because that's a long ass gap. I'm trying to think.
Will
Let
Smith
us know.
In a space movie or something.
But yeah, but it wasn't consistent.
Right.
Creed. Maybe Creed, I guess. I don't know. But Creed ain't, he fighting in the ring. But like in the world, who could we put our money on and say, okay, you know, because there's John Wick, there's the Bourne Identity, there's, you know what I mean, Death Wish, there's a, you know, whatever, Taken. There's a ton of white guys, you know what I'm saying, that have gotten the benefit of riding the ass-whipping franchise situation. But, yeah, who else has it been on the black side of things where you could point to that ain't in the power universe? You know what I'm saying? Like, where we at? Where we living at?
The second point that stood out to me was that you don't really get to see old black OGs in the movie. You know what I'm saying?
Nah, not like that.
Like he was like about a three, nigga. He was an OG, man. This nigga had on slacks. He out in Italy. He trying to drink some tea. You know what I'm saying? He pulling up on the, you know what I'm saying, on the shorty. You know what I'm saying? She 50 plus or whatever, close to it. You know what I'm talking about? Like, he was about to get his whole romanticism on as an OG. You know, he living with an OG. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Nigga out there trying to sell him a hat. You know what I'm saying? What's that now? You look good in this hat. You don't see shit like that. Like, oh, man, in our society, man, we don't have no black man. Ain't no real role for that nigga. You know what I'm saying? You see a nigga dressed up, he on Facebook, nigga. That shit is not on the silver screen.
Nah, he was doing it. He was doing it the right way. He was doing it smooth. He wasn't the passport, bro.
Right.
He was chilling. He was enjoying a little, you know what I mean, a little cup of tea and real conversation with a woman. It wasn't no transaction. Wasn't no trick talk.
Right.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Like, you know?
You know what I'm saying? We don't get that often. You know what I'm saying? So that was refreshing. You know?
It was refreshing. So, let me ask you this. No, it's real talk. Let me ask you this, because I know you said you want to make a movie with like a real violent scene. What's your favorite? Because I know you like a lot of the Korean violent movies. But if you had to do a, I hate the Mount Rushmore shit, but if you had to do three movies that got some real deal violence in it that you appreciate as a fan and a filmmaker, what would those three be on your list?
I ain't got three. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Okay. Well,
it's
go ahead.
One Korean movie. That shit, I saw The Devil.
Mm-hmm. You always say that.
Them
okay.
niggas.
Okay.
Was, I got to watch that. That shit was wild. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Old boy was all right. You know what I'm saying? It was like, you know, you could see how it got started. But, I mean, and it might not even, that was 13, 14 years ago that movie came out. But, when it came out, I had never seen nothing parallel to it as far as the way the length they went through to, you know what I'm saying, cause pain on niggas and shit. And in a movie. So those two, you know, those two in a lineage are the ones. I ain't did a whole lot of research on it. Somebody just told me about it. I went in and popped in a couple of joints and realize what was missing in the U.S. market as far as that. You know what I'm saying? And if you break that down to the black market, you know what I mean? I think the closest violent shit to me, and I ain't talking about bombs and explosions and shit like that. You know what I'm saying? Niggas shooting you out, shoot 10 niggas. Like, Equalizer killed about 10 niggas in the movie. So I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about just the reaction you get from a scene. and haven't seen it before in that manner, you know what I'm saying, real life or in cinema. So if you take all the bombs and the shooting and the cars and the chasing and all that shit out, I think that goddamn Precious have some of the most violent shit in a movie. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Because that shit was enacted from a mother to a child in a way that you've possibly have seen before. You know what I'm saying? And felt some type of way and pushed that shit to the recesses of your mind. You know what I'm saying? You don't even know why. You know what I mean? That shit was that shit was crazy. I had knots in my stomach watching Precious. I didn't even revisit that shit not one more time.
Yeah. I don't think I seen Precious more than once either, but it was it was effective for sure. It was, they sold it. Yeah.
So you know what I'm saying? I would say that in that particular case, the way I'm talking about is in a way where you can actually stomach it, I suppose, and it's not upon a kid, you know what I mean? But in a way, why do we celebrate violence so much? Why is it so important to our culture? You know what I'm saying? Black and white. It ain't just black people. I'm saying in America, nigga, violence. Like, they'll push that shit down and suppress it, but it's a heavy premium on violence. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, man, like the way Floyd Mayweather fight, man, he soft. You know what I'm saying? In the league, the NBA, the way it is now, they soft. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's all based on some physicality. You know what I mean? And for whatever reason, people want to see it. People want to, you know what I'm saying, want to react to it. You know what I mean? People want you to react in the manner that people understand. So, but nobody's really addressing it now. Everybody, you know, they'll shoot it out. You know what I'm saying? Shit like that. But I'm talking about, you know, people to people violence.
Yeah. That shit is real. I mean, this is what this country is based on for sure. You know. Word. You know what I mean? That shit is in the song. You know what I'm saying? So we get it in. We get it in. Let us know what one of your favorite violent movies are. You know? Fuck it. Let's talk about it.
Perpetuating violence.
Man, look. We ain't got to perpetuate. That shit is out there. It's going. It ain't dormant at all. Speaking of violence.
Yeah.
It's about that time. Taking all the way out to, where is it again?
Yeah, North Dakota and Minnesota.
North Dakota, but
mostly in North Dakota this episode.
Yeah. And hey, I said this before. I'm going to go ahead and rewatch the movie before the season is over. I did say that. Fargo, you know, Razor Kanan was on a bye week. I was kind of anticipating that because, you know, the Power Universe is always going to take at least 1 week off for no apparent reason other than the, I guess, whet your appetite for when it comes back. Yeah. I don't know what
holidays,
it's based on.
People like to say that the, you know, people don't watch as much TV during the holidays. They vacation and
shit.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
You know, ratings drop during those times. So I can understand that. You know what I'm saying? Take a week, come back. I just didn't know. I'm all primed up, prepped up. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Sat on down, got my snacks. You know, hit the remote, put on the, you know, stars. And
Boom, boom, boom. Yeah, man. I now with, especially with Power, I gotta check if it's there before I do any of that other shit. Before I get the snacks ready or any of that. Let me see if this shit is even around this week. Okay, bet. Here we go. But I'm sure it's gonna be back next week. But we have Fargo this week. It was interesting. It was an interesting episode. It's pretty good. It's funny shit. Let's talk about it. They're bringing it together.
Yeah. So, you know.
Yeah.
We open that bitch up. What's my man name with the patch? Old Patch Eye?
Danish.
Yeah, Danish.
I don't know Danish's. Yeah.
Danish gassed up the Porsche, drove over to North Dakota to steal an election.
Fire ass Porsche.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't even like Porsches like that, but that shit look fire.
So he done drove the Porsche on over, and he implemented his plan to steal the election. By putting in, you know what I'm saying, changing the guy's name so it could match the the sheriff's name so that your ballot is all one name, people are confused on who to pick.
Bunch of Roy Tillmans.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So we started off by seeing that's what his plan is to steal the election, and we off to the races.
Then, did you know that from there? I knew he was changing names, but did you see the plan coming together already?
Yeah, just what she told him. She said she told him to gas up the Porsche for what? To go steal the election. That's what she said in the episode.
No, I got that.
What?
I got that, but I didn't know until the point to when he walked in. And you seen all of the cats on the stage and podiums with hats on.
Yeah, once he started changing, once he said more than one, I knew what he was doing.
Oh, okay. See, I didn't know exactly. I didn't catch it exactly.
One of the reasons why I know this is because when I go vote, I always have that problem in recognizing the names. You know what I'm saying? You're like, God damn, is that the name? I got to go on my, you know what I'm saying, sneak Google my phone and shit. Like, okay, that's them. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So if you had two motherfuckers with the same name, I already know it's going to be a problem.
That was slick.
So we started off with him, you know what I'm saying, setting his plan in motion. Then we went to the hospital with Roy setting his plan in motion. Stealing our beloved Dottie from the hospital. You know what I'm saying? Now we all on the side. We ain't know what the fuck was going on in the beginning. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Now we know the backstory. You know, we thought she was just sneaky. You know what I'm saying? What the fuck she was up to. But, you know, it turns out Roy, you know, after she got into the situation. Oh, this is what I wanted to say. Last week, you know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. We talked about her going to Linda and not all that stuff, which eventually turned out to be a dream. We didn't say that in the show, but it did turn out. That turned out to be a dream.
Wait, that entire episode was a dream?
Yep, she woke up at the restaurant. That's when she got hit.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that whole shit was a dream. Because in this episode, he alluded to what you watch closely. He basically killed Linda. Linda is where she found the fucking postcard under the goddamn shit. That's where Linda's buried.
Got under a windmill.
Yeah, under the windmill. That's where they was fucking burying Mr. Danish at the end of this episode.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, gotcha.
So
yeah,
when she looks out there and see that, she realizes like, oh shit. You know what I'm saying? I got. You know what I'm saying? All that Linda shit was fake.
Right.
So now she's locked to the bed in the barn, in one of the barns. You know what I'm saying? He laying it out like, you know what I'm saying? This is what it is, and I'm going to torture your ass like an animal out here. You know? And his new wife come in. She started to say something. Oh, you got a new one. She's like, oh, pow! You know what I'm saying? I do not ever want to hear you talk again. Like, God damn.
Yeah. hurt people. That shit is a chain of events. Yeah, she got deputized too.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh man.
So Dot in there trying to plead her case. I got a pie to make. I got a, you know what I'm saying? I got school to attend. He like, man, you don't shut up. He wanted to exact all the revenge. I guess he wanted everybody to be in place, in position, basically as women slaves to him. And you know, she escaped, and now he like, oh, you gonna pay? So, so now we at the ranch. She getting beat down and shit. Oh, but when we was at the hospital, when he stole her, the old end up black officer shows up. You know what I'm saying? I hate to call him end up, but that's how they wrote him. You know what I'm saying? It's like, yeah, damn, give him a little some gusto. Let him, you know what I'm saying? Pistol whip Gator or something. You know what I'm talking about? Gator come in and talk shit.
Yeah. You done watch way too many Equalizers for this motherfucker to be this passive.
Right.
Like, yo, where is your watch?
Gator came in and told him he was on his period.
I didn't even catch that one.
Gator tried that nigga, man. God.
Gator shot at him.
He shot at the car when he came to the house afterwards.
Yeah. Next one gonna be in your head.
Right.
Yeah, man.
So Gator tripping out here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Gator feel like a loser. Because he is.
Because he motherfucking is. So then, so then he calls Officer Friendly over in Minnesota and Minneapolis or wherever they at, and tells her what's happening. He just saw her, you know, get took back to the ranch. Officer Friendly, you know what I'm saying, is trying to pull herself together. She go to the crib and find old her Mr. Housewife cheating and shit. He got a bitch in the closet and he's tripping, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, she caught him cheating and you know what I'm saying? I don't know where he going. He like, where am I supposed to go? You're gonna have to figure that shit out, player. Shit.
That's all she needed. She been ready to cut that cat. That was it. That was just, man. That was the last straw.
Yeah, so he, you know, theoretically is in the streets. She runs over to Miss Lyons' crib and, you know what I'm saying, starts to break the shit down. And this is where I'm going to pass it over to you, but I didn't get, did she accept the job? Because she was like, you know, yeah, she thought she was coming to accept the job. And then she told her about this. But then the old Miss Lyon was like, welcome to your first day. She said some shit like that. So I didn't know if that meant that it was on or what.
It was unclear to me, too, because it felt like she turned it down at first. She was like, no, I'm not going to take it. But when she was saying everything that was going on, she was like, yeah, come on in. Welcome to your first day. Basically, Big Lyons don't seem like she takes no for an answer anyway.
Right.
She know your life is in shambles. Look, I'm trying to shoot you this parachute because you out here, you are falling fast.
Dragging your tail out here.
Yeah. Come on now. Stop playing. Don't be too big. And now, looks like we got two openings. So, yeah, she looked like she, I think she's going to take the gig.
She didn't know she had a second opening yet.
Yeah, she ain't know just yet. She ain't know just yet. But now you got something to choose from. But so boom, we see the plan kind of unfold. So Roy at the spot, you know, trying to break Dottie or Nadine or whomever, trying to break her down. You know what I'm saying? How dare you even, you know, like, how dare you even kind of raise your voice at, like, you bucking back at me? He's like, oh, I forgot about how you move. You know what I mean? Like, I forgot you could be difficult. Because he said a couple times, you know, you got to break a woman like a horse. You know what I'm saying? Like, he look at all of them as just property. You know, even homegirl that came in and slapped the old wife, she going to get slapped later, too.
She got slapped last episode.
Right. That's what I'm saying. She going to get slapped again. You know, that's just part of her existence, unfortunately. So she taking that frustration off on Dorothy, on Nadine. So, boom. So there's that. You know, Dot, she is clever. She's a fucking crafty motherfucker. So she already kind of, first of all, you could tell, I don't know about this new wife. I don't know what her secret powers is. I don't know how good she is at certain shit. But Dot, you could tell Roy's like, oh, I got to be on point. Like when he was signing her out, he's like, let me get that pen up off you. You know what
let
I mean?
Me read over what you wrote.
Yeah, let me read what you wrote because you be on some other shit. But he missed that she pulled the little piece out the clipboard that she gonna later use to, you know, finagle to take the little eyelid off of the bed and create a little thing that she could use as a file to file away the chain so she could still act like she chained up a little bit. You know, she's working on getting up out of there. And kind of the worst thing he could have done is gave her some space and time. But he got to go and go to this, you know, these debates. He leave Gator in charge, and Gator's terrible. He's just as inept as my man, Lamorne. But, and they have a moment where she say, yo, I seen your moms. And Adam realized that was all a dream. But, you know, I seen your moms and this, that, and the other thing. And, you're the only person that's not named after him. Because he always thought you was going to be a loser. That fucked him up. You could tell. He was like, yeah, that's what made him shoot at Lamorne.
Hot. That nigga was hot.
Which I still don't get. Because for a hot second, I thought it was Dot Who was it in the back seat of his car?
Where? When he was leaving?
When he was pulling out, if you remember, I don't know if you saw it, because I thought it was Doc. When he's pulling off, if you look, you might have to watch it back. Somebody's in the back seat of Gator's car. It could be Munch.
Oh. Oh, yeah, that's Munch. Right? That's Munch.
Okay. Because I thought it was Doc. I was like, damn, Doc did that shit smooth. How she get it out? Okay, that's Munch.
Nah, that's Munch. So,
and you know Munch is the most patient motherfucker on the whole show. So he gonna sleep there. So, boom. I don't know, but he gonna get Gator. Gator is God. Gator's such a fucking idiot. So then we get down to the debate. Roy walk in, him, his lady, his squadron, you know, and he just see all these people in these 10-gallon hats. He's like, yo, what the fuck is this? It's a little crowded up here. Because he been running unopposed for years.
Right.
He's like, yo, what is going on here? And it looked like Danish might have even gave the moderator like some real ass questions. Mm-hmm. Like, do y'all really need a tank? Like, serious, not no softball questions. So he's kind of like, oh shit. And then they doing the whole monkey see, monkey do shit. You know what I mean? Why are you copying me? What do you mean, why am I copying? Why are you copying me? Why are you copying me? You know, all of that shit. So he get mad. He throw the little podium to the side. He getting off. He mad as shit. The lady come up trying to, you know, get some words with him. He turned around, sock her, bow!
In front of everybody.
And who, yeah, in front of everybody. And that's just who he is.
Right.
You know what I mean? It kind of reminded me of in the beginning, first episode with Dot, when she was tasing everybody. It's like when you frazzled. But he definitely put hands on women. So he knocked her out in front of everybody. So he basically lost the election. Now, this is where Danish went wrong. He is a little too smug. Wait,
before you go, it's like he didn't lose it yet, but you know what I'm saying?
He ain't lose it, but yeah, it's about to happen. He just don't look good. He ain't lose it yet, but it don't look good for him. So, boom, this is where Danish kind of played himself because he a little too smug. You know, he worked with a henchman himself, and she got long paper and seems like a steel umbrella. So he probably feel a little invincible talking shit with only one eye in front of Roy.
And no weapon.
No weapon at all. Like, yo, what are you doing? Talking big shit. Like, well, you know, if you want to be stupid, like crazy shit, and Roy pull out that fucking 45
357 Magnum.
Hell yeah.
Ass Clint Eastwood joint.
Nigga. And it ain't for show. He pulled that shit out, put it to work. He was like, yo, so let me ask you a question. Since you so smart, wow, shot him in the stomach. Stepped like, over.
And why you dead?
Why are you so dead? Wow. I said, damn, you know Roy busts his gun. You know that's one thing he going to do. He going to kill somebody in every episode, man. He's a bad motherfucker.
But you didn't think that Roy would bust his gun in that moment. Like,
he didn't know.
Yeah, like, listen. Even as a viewer, you didn't. Mm-hmm. You know, he pulled it out. I thought it was an intimidation tactic. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He pulled it out. He finished calmly, listened to the last of that, them nouns and verbs. And hit his ass quick. Blow!
Mm-hmm. Gave it to him. But Roy at the end of his rope.
Yes.
Roy at the end of his rope. You fucking with his livelihood. Like, this is the only thing he got to live for is being the man. Right. He ain't even the man no more. So now,
I mean, he pops, because he was like, I can call it all off and you know what I'm saying, give you the election, but you got to give us Dot. And he like, man, I ain't giving you shit. And you ain't going to be able to call shit to Ofro as a dead man.
Not at all, bro. Your shit don't work no more. I'm going to cut your water off, as Lamar used to say.
The water is cut off, man.
It's done, nigga. Straight desert on your ass.
So now, Dottie gets to see who she thought was going to save her. You know what I'm saying? Talking about help, help, help. Get buried, get thrown on up under the windmill.
Yeah, and another one bites the dust. And it's crazy because Lamorne is the kind, not the reason, but he the one that told her, yo, Dottie up there. And you could tell Danish didn't really want to go up there. He was like, shit.
Right.
Fuck it, I guess. And I don't even know if he called Big Lions. I don't know if he called her and said, yo, I'm about to go slide past Roy. Because she might have been like, yo, take it easy. He's dangerous. Don't play yourself. You only got one eye and you ain't got no gun. He went out there. It was terrible. I got you on paperwork, nigga.
Nigga, thinking that paperwork gonna save him, nigga. That shit ain't
over.
So we in for quite of the next two episodes. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's where do we go from here? Now it's all women and the end up black man versus Roy and his henchmen.
Mm-hmm.
And we gonna see how it all plays out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Do you think that Dot is gonna get to kill Roy?
I mean, that would be a good payoff.
Yeah, I feel like it.
I feel like that would be the payoff. I'm not sure how they gonna. I mean, you know, a lot of the way they writing this is very crafty. So, you know what I'm saying? Some of it you can't see coming. So,
right.
You know, some of it you just wait and enjoy.
Yeah, now you just tune in, you know, just ride out with it. I'm curious to see what's gonna happen with Munch and Gator. You know what I mean? That's funny.
Probably coming up Munch first scene.
Yeah. On some Ronnie shit. And then I don't know who else. I mean, we'll see what happens with old Indira. If she really took the job, if anything's going to change in her life. I mean, I guess her storyline is, you know, it's kind of, I don't want to say it's settled, but it's not that dynamic. It's really more about what's going to happen with Dot. And I'm curious to see if Munch is going to get his revenge and what's going to happen with Roy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There it go. Well, shit. We about to transform and roll out. Again, I'm going to say this. D.C., Washington, D.C., D.C. Improv, I will be there September 8th through the 10th. And Hartford, Connecticut. Is it Hartford, Connecticut? Yeah, I'm at City Steam. February 16th and 17th. All of the tickets are on DamianLemon.com. Go there. Rediscover comedy. Shit. Until next week, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation. We out.